Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Progress.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm very pleased to have a special guest, Shannon Rowan, who has a number of important books we're going to discuss. After I give an update on the latest news development, Veterans Today has a nice piece, How Russia is Winning the Conflict, Protracted by NATO's Weapons, with EU and U.S. Citizens' Money. Last Ukrainian military ship destroyed, UK supply storm shadow cruise missiles intercepted. It's all going very badly for the West. Fabio Giuseppe Carlo Carisio writes, we are preparing for this conflict to become protracted with the consequence of such a turn of events. We must prepare public opinion to sustain long-term support for Ukraine in a high to medium intensity conflict in accordance with the situation to that extent. We must reconsider and analyze the nature of our support together with our partners during this summer and realize what we need to achieve the desired result. President Emmanuel Macron said during the globalist GlobeSec International Security Conference in Slovakia, adding that hopes are still high for the success of Ukraine's much-vaunted counteroffensive. But the French president does not see a crucial issue of this, admit a crucial issue of this shameful war triggered by the 2014 coup in Kiev to remove the pro-Russian president by the repeated violation of the truce in Donbass by Ukrainian troops and then by the continuous military provocation with a copious supply of weapons before the invasion of the country by the Moscow army. Yes, NATO was beefing up Ukraine under cover of the Minsk agreements. Right now, the American and European weapon lobby is doing a booming business thanks to the sale of armaments bought with government money derived from the taxes of EU and EU citizens given as gifts to Ukrainian President Zelensky, who is leading his country to destruction in a war he doesn't have the slightest chance of winning just because he has become NATO's hitman in an indirect confrontation against Russia and has the obligation not to accept any truce or peace deal. Among many reports updates, UK supplies long-range missile to Kiev, but Russia increased sevenfold the weapon production, among which is the unmatched hypersonic rockets. In fact, NATO and EU countries do not have the ability or willingness to donate significant numbers of strategic military vehicles, tanks, aircraft, or ships to Ukraine. At the same time, they cannot supply the government in Kiev with a massive number of munitions so as not to deplete their own arsenals. That's why the high-tech missiles delivered mainly by the UK are sufficient in number, only to prolong the agony of the former USSR state, but not to allow it to win a war against Russia, which has hundreds, if not thousands, of times military equipment superior, both in older generation rockets, not used because they are too inaccurate, and in conventional and nuclear weapons. Putin has confirmed a strike on Ukrainian military intelligence headquarters. Meanwhile, on the real battleground, the facts are becoming every day more important than words. After the conquest of Bakhmut by the Russian Wagner Group, the Kiev regime, supported by ongoing more powerful NATO weapons, didn't react with a real counteroffensive in Donbass, but through many terroristic attacks on Russian territories, Masha and Belgorod, causing more fear than damage or casualties. Meanwhile, key Donbass city Bakhmut completely liberated by Russians, President Putin congratulates troops on battlefield success. After that, Russia has targeted the headquarters of the Ukrainian military's main intelligence directorate in Kiev, President Vladimir Putin confirmed on Tuesday. We've been talking about the possibility of striking the decision-making centers. Naturally, Ukraine's military intelligence headquarters fall into such a category, and it was it 2 or 3 days ago. Unlike Ukraine, which had been targeting residential buildings in Russia, Moscow is striking only military targets, such as ammunition dumps or fuel depots, with high-precision weaponry, he added. Kiev regime behind terrorist drone attacks on Moscow, the Russian defense ministry has observed. Meanwhile, Russian forces have wiped out the last Ukrainian combat ship in Odessa. Russia's aerospace forces destroyed the last Ukrainian combat ship in the Odessa port during the special military operation in Ukraine, defense ministry spokesman Lieutenant General Igor Konashenkov reported Wednesday. On May 29th, the Ukrainian Navy's last combat ship, Yuri Oleferenko, was destroyed as a result of a strike by the Russian Aerospace Force's precision weapons against the anchorage of naval ships in the Odessa port. Meanwhile, dirty bombs may have been beside the depleted uranium ammo hit by Russian missiles, where we had a mushroom cloud. In the Kipyan direction, aviation and artillery of the Zapad group of forces inflicted fire damage, too, on the units of the armed forces of Ukraine, close to Timkovka and Berestovia in the Kharkov region, and Smelenikov in the Lugansk People's Republic. With hypersonic missiles, Russia can win Ukraine soon. That's why Putin doesn't use them, but the ICC wants to arrest him. More significant, perhaps, now, given Russia's prevalence, Vakhin Hagopian, who is among a tiny handful of the best geopolitical analysts in the world today, has just published on my blog, "All roads are now leading to imminent World War III." I want you to brace yourself for what you're about to hear, because he is suggesting, and there are multiple reasons I'm going to share in the portions of his article that I'm going to read, that 11 June may mark the beginning of World War III. Listen to this. An ominous Ukraine war development this week with Putin's Tuesday announcement that Russia had launched a drone strike recently, hitting the head of the snake, Ukraine's Intelligence Command Center headquarters. We've been talking about the possibility of striking the decision-making centers. Naturally, Ukraine's military intelligence headquarters fall into such a category, and it was hit 2 or 3 days ago. While visiting the African nation of Burundi Tuesday, May 30th, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov stated, Western claims that the weapon shipped to Kiev must not be used on Russian territory is yet another lie. As for the threats being uttered against Russians, we have also told our friends today how we view this situation. Threats to kill Russians have come from many official representatives of the Kiev regime, including the Security Council secretary, including Zelensky advisor, including several Ukrainian ambassadors abroad. Now, as you know, an American senator, Lindsey Graham, has opened up on this topic. Putin's also commented that Ukraine launched at least 8 unmanned aerial drones targeting a residential Moscow apartment building. Residential Moscow apartment buildings earlier on Tuesday aimed to intimidate Russian citizens as another clear sign of Kiev's terrorist activity. Unlike Russian strikes, which are restricted to ammunition and fuel depots and specific military targets. Just as U.S. State Department policymaker Victoria Nuland broadcasts the U.S. destruction of Nord Stream pipelines days in advance, Nuland apparently announced in a video conference with Kiev government officials that's since been removed for intent to ignite World War III on July 11, 2023. Nuland boldly declared that World War III would be ignited July 11th, the day a NATO summit in Lithuania will convene. The notoriously globalist organization that co-chaired the event with Nuland was none other than the Atlantic Council, whose representative declared, "Transatlantic unity and robust support can help Ukraine defeat Russia and renew European security." Atlantic Council funders include the usual bloodline controlling suspects, Rockefeller, Goldman, Facebook, Google, Nuland's U.S. State Department, even the corrupt Ukrainian energy company, bribing Hunter and the big guy, Burisma Holdings. The recent wave of war-baiting threats, warnings and rumored predictions of World War III is starting any day or week has reached fever pitch by Memorial Day. All this conjecture and grave concern has created an even loud internet buzz foretelling something hugely wicked. This way is coming in June, be it a deadly false flag event with a tactical newt or the already ongoing hybrid world warfare between clashing East and West forces, suddenly very fast turning into a kinetic, hot, far more deadly war. Plotted false flags have an eerie long history, timed with scheduled live drills that turn into live disasters called hot wars. Thus, it's worth noting that the first ever major air power NATO exercise over Germany, Air Defender 23, is a few days away, lasting from June 12th through June 24th, fueling high-octane speculation that the live joint military exercise will convert to a live World War III against Russia, co-timed with Ukraine's long-hyped and delayed spring counteroffensive. Air Defender 23 involves 25 nations' air forces, 10,000 personnel, 220 aircraft, with Germany operating as a collective European airspace hub. This unprecedented mass joint exercise will assess a 25-nation coordinated response to a military emergency threat, like Cold War 2.0 turning hot World War III against Russia. This lineup, featuring today's World War III allied forces, consists of the following 25 nations: Belgium, Bulgaria, Croatia, Czech Republic, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Italy, Japan, Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Norway, Poland, Romania, Slovakia, Spain, Sweden, Turkey, United Kingdom, and the United States. Perhaps Turkey may serve as a double agent, with President Recep Tayyip Erdogan having just won another six-year term in office as an increasingly closer ally to Russia, ever-distancing NATO member. In a Tuesday, May 30th article, Hal Turner, a credible former intelligence source, after heavily consulting with cohorts, concurred moving that many aircraft from that many countries halfway around the world and just outside an ongoing conflict zone in Ukraine, just to have an exercise is highly unlikely. It's far more probable that an incident will occur that ignites world war. Intelligence is predicting the strong likelihood that an actual direct military conflict will quickly lead to World War III commencing against the Russian armed forces, perhaps soon involving Russia's close allies, China, Iran, and North Korea. At the projected time of the Nord Stream sabotage, the Balt Ops 22 joint U.S.-Norwegian military exercise was taking place. With memory still fresh, using a scheduled live military drill as a not-so-transparent cover to commit yet another terrorist act of war to start World War III holds some corroborative weight. With the West having already sent and nearly depleted its entire weapons arsenal to Ukraine, resulting only in a futile, inevitable defeat, globalist bloodline controllers are reaching the reckless point of sheer desperation. Anything to prolong the conflict is better than a loss. Junior officers in Ukraine, deemed their only means of survival, are now resorting to killing their commanders, ordering their troops to certain death. Recurring now in Ukraine, this growing trend called fragging in Vietnam became commonplace during the final years America was losing the war there. Historically, whenever the Rothschild Central Bank cartel plans a severe financial and economic downturn or collapse, like clockwork, war is never far away. Yet another world war almost seems like a done deal. At worst, what lies ahead for humanity could be the deadliest war in history, involving the Earth's two largest nuclear powers going head-to-head against each other. At this dire endgame stage of this epic war, being fought between good and evil, based on all indicators, it almost appears inevitable and unavoidable. With a probable Kiev counteroffensive and NATO's Air Defender 23's colossal military air exercise simultaneously unfolding this not-so-merry month of June, the West has several scenarios as a planned exercise to enter the expanding war directly against Russia. One is for Ukraine to grant NATO permission to enter its airspace in order to establish a no-fly zone. When Russia responds by attacking NATO aircraft, it would be the flimsily provoked excuse to launch all-out war against Moscow. Much to the chagrin of European nation states, the U.S. insists that all F-16 fighter jets deployed in Ukraine include nuclear capability, thus escalating by many fold the likelihood of imminent nuclear war. Washington is accepting Kiev's word at face value that the F-16 will not be used in or over Russia, despite the repeated matter knowing Kiev's word has proven it cannot be trusted. Both the U.S. and Ukraine regime break every promise, cut repeatedly in nonstop lies. Is taking the word of Ukraine is a phony setup delivering nuclear World War III. Another Plan B scenario might be when U.S. and U.K. pilots flying F-16 fighter jets, since Kiev pilots supposedly have not yet been trained to fly F-16s, either over Ukraine or potential Russian border targets like Belgorod, either get captured or shot down, upon Russia confirming the attacking U.S. and U.K. pilots as a hostile force have entered the war directly against Russia, the Kremlin will then justifiably declare war against U.S. NATO. Or it could plausibly end up some combination of these scenarios that leads instantly to kinetic World War III. U.S. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby on Wednesday, May 31st, stated, that would be yesterday, we want to make sure that Ukraine has everything they need to defend themselves as they get ready to go on the offensive here in the summertime. We want to make sure they have everything they need to do that successfully. So if we get the spring counteroffensive, it's now going to start in the summer, with a huge NATO air drill going on until June 24th, 3 days beyond the summer solstice that officially starts as summer. The early intel report that World War III will begin during the 25 Western nation military exercise is still in sync with Ukraine's war escalation. But here's the rub. Despite Kirby being a retired Navy Rear Admiral, no military in its right mind would broadcast when any major military offensive would begin. So this guy's credibility is already highly suspect. John Kirby also made news earlier this week when he was stupefied, speechless, at a total loss for words when a reporter asked, what do you say to the majority of Americans that say the president is corrupt? The New York Post journalist preceded his question, pointing out that both a whistleblower's testimony and a 53% majority of Americans found Kirby's boss to be corrupt. After a stymied long pause it took for Kirby to collect himself, he then resorted to corrupt government's usual response, uttering the bold-faced lie of denial. But admittedly, it was entertaining to watch this bullshitter unable to speak for several stammering seconds, like the deer caught in the headlights. Further casting a dark, luminous, foreboding shadow, past work the world's largest warship, USS aircraft carrier Gerald Ford, with its holding capacity of 90 aircraft, made a rare, ominous four-day port call in Oslo, Norway, where a conspicuous NATO summit is currently being held. Though the USS Gerald Ford is reportedly engaging in joint naval exercises with Norway, its fighter jet squadron can take off, refuel in midair, and easily attack targets deep inside northeastern Russia. Thus, a competitively intense air battle in Ukraine, extending into western Russia, carries a very real plausibility, if not probability. Moreover, the U.S. Naval Pacific Fleet includes aircraft carriers that simultaneously can strike eastern Russia and, according to a NATO contingency plan, could overwhelm Russian conventional forces, coercing Moscow to sue for peace. Not likely. Russian leaders have consistently been clear for months now, saying that if confronted with existential threat of an enemy attack that would include F-16 flying within the Ukraine war zone, Russia would readily deploy nuclear weapons as an urgent act of self-defense. Overt aggression by a demented West places all of us, the world over, currently in reckless endangerment, potentially dooming all life on our planet. It's insanely suicidal. But in growing desperation, the controllers, as mentally ill Satan is situated from the comfort confines of underworld luxury, believing they will survive, could well be executing their planet-wide extermination plan after all. They've been plotting their depopulation agenda for over a century. And what faster way to achieve this deplorable outcome than through nuclear holocaust? This is how demonically sick the subhuman elites have become. Another intel report from Hal Turner claims the U.S. government has just issued a mandated notice to all hospitals, jails, prisons, and other government facilities and institutions to ensure that at least a 10-day food supply is available during the coming weeks in case of supply chain disruption. Both vendors and government are currently putting out this explicit warning. And though it may be prudent advice to maintain plentiful food supply storage at all times, even beyond 10 days in case of emergencies, the timing of this urgent government-mandated announcement could time with the upcoming unprecedented largest 2 weeks NATO joint military exercise ever, right next to the ongoing hostile war zone, appears suspect and oddly peculiar, unless the government knows lots more than letting on or telling the population at large. One more ominous newsflash reveals, during the early hours of Thursday, June 1st, many Russian military executive jets flew from Moscow to the Ural Mountain underground bunker facility. If true, this action indicates that Moscow government VIPs are heading for safe cover. Yet one more foreboding sign, as of Thursday, June 1st, straight off of the U.S. government website. Let me say, I'm very pleased to have my special guest here, and we will be continuing initiating a conversation of her books right after the break. But let me add one further sign that this is about to happen. The United States Senate was issued cell phones, satellite cell phones, where 50 accepted. That speaks of the important situation emerging here. Sad day. A election may all end over it. All right. Goodbye.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, my featured guest today, Shannon Rowan, has at least three impressive books. Here's a thumbnail sketch. Welcome to the Masquerade, Prelude to the Coming Reset. Geopolitical authors and researchers John Hammer and Shannon Rowan team up to expose a massive hoax, second to none in human history, exploring a wide variety of political and esoteric topics, unmasking the main players in their control agendas at the heart of the world's great masquerade of 2020-2021. Wi-Fi refugee, plight of the modern-day canary. Millions of ordinary citizens from all over the world are being made to flee the rapid, ceaseless encroachment of wireless communication grids. They become the new silent asylum seekers, forced to seek out dwindling safe havens free from the onslaught of microwave and millimeter wave radiation. Marginalized from society and forgotten by the world, the electrically sensitive are truly refugees. These are some of their stories. And shots fired. Vaccine weapons, medical tyranny, and the war against humanity. A hard-hitting, in-depth expose on vaccine and allopathic medical history, germ theory and the true origins of disease, the viral paradigm, and fraudulent science, statistics manipulation and corruption in the pharmaceutical industry and government health regulatory bodies, the rise of medical tyranny and medical apartheid, and the continued devastating impacts of the new experimental mRNA drugs on human health. Shannon Rowan, it's a delight to have you here on The Raw Deal. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm just delighted. I've heard such good things about you. I wanted to take advantage of the opportunity. We could begin anywhere. I mean, you got the Great Reset, the pandemic and the vax and all that. I cannot think of more timely topics. Last it be nuclear war. We've covered that already heretofore.
Yeah.
Pretty shocking stuff, isn't it? Because this guy is as good as they get, Shannon. And for him to be telling us it may start on the 11th of June. I mean, here it is the 2nd. We're talking about having a little more than a week. And this may be literally what comes to pass. And Russia, of course, has made it clear that they're going to go all out. They're not going to do any little wimpy little few tactical nukes. No, no, no. It's going to be all out massive assault. And the West is going to be obliterated. 100 million dead in the first hour, I have no doubt. All NATO's military, their ships and everything will be taken out immediately. It's incredible that we have leaders of such inept, so corrupt, so fixated really on the globalist agenda that they would put in the entire planet Earth at risk. Your thoughts?
Yeah, actually, I've been thinking that there's a lot of parallels in the last year with the beginnings of World War II. If you think about it, Hitler was attacking when he invaded Poland. You know, the West was all, you know, Britain was suddenly, who had been in favor of Hitler before that, said, we're going to support Poland. And then everybody was coming to support Poland and pretending that Hitler was going to try to take over the entire world, which I don't think he ever said that. He was taking back some of the old, you know, territory, just like Putin. You know, just like Putin. So to me, it's like the fact that everybody's sort of saying, oh, we're going to be on Ukraine's side, and they're making Putin out to this monster who wants to dominate the entire world, reeks of all those same, you know, beginnings of that war. So it is something to pay attention to. And the fact, like you said, they're having this NATO, crazy NATO exercise. Actually, just last night and yesterday, we had a lot of military planes over our remote area, and I was kind of wondering about it because they went late at night. I kept hearing that boom noise and that thunder overhead, and I just thought, what's going on? You know, because that's unusual for where we live.
I think Joaquin spelled out what's going on. Yeah, and just as they had a false flag, you know, to initiate the German occupancy of Poland, they have a false flag is what they're trying to bring about here to justify attacking Russia, except Russia is so formidable. I don't think the average American has any comprehension, Shannon, that Russia is by far the superior nuclear power on Earth. They think it's the U.S. or NATO. It is not. Russia has better anti-missile missiles, better anti-ship missiles, better anti-submarine torpedoes, better missiles, you know, the Satan II, what has 15 independently targetable warheads that could take out France with a single missile. You know, I mean, that's just incredible. And they had, I think, to steal the election to install the Biden puppet to push all of this. I mean, it was just god-awful, everything. But for Biden to say, you know, we're to Ukraine as long as it takes, giving all this money, all these supplies to Ukraine, when there's no national security interest of the United States other than the 15 or more bio labs, which we were working in violation of international law. I mean, the whole situation is appalling, simply appalling.
And then you've got all these refugees from Ukraine being pushed on to, all, you know, all these nations in Europe, just forced to take them in. I know in Ireland, they were saying, the government was saying, like, you have to take in the refugees into your own homes or we'll take your homes from you. I mean, more disruptions, more food supply disruptions, more efforts to starve us out, to impoverish us. You know, this has been the goal. I mean, since early 2020 with the pandemic, it was all about, you know, impoverishing the masses and depopulation and starving us. So
think of what you just said. You either let them into your homes or we take your homes. Now we got millions. I think it's going to be 100 million. Coming across our southern border. That is the same game they're going to play on the American people. You take them in or we take your homes. I think the part of the motivation is telling these people they're even going to give them homes. Whose homes? Our homes. Your home. My home. They're going to come into our neighborhoods. I cannot believe that you'd have an American government that would allow this to happen until you understand that the real enemy of the American people, it's not Russia, it's not China, it's not North Korea, it's not Iran, it's our own government. I mean, Shannon, it's shocking. Yeah. And I think you've got that as an underlying theme in your own book. Tell us more.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. We, our enemy is right here in front of us. You know, we are living under tyranny. I mean, these are not elected officials anymore. You know, you said, you know, those elections are stolen. And besides that, who's controlling, even if we elected them in, who's controlling them? You know, you follow the money trail and you see who's controlling them. And it's always the same players. You know, it's the tech and the pharmaceutical. It's the globalist behind that. So they've been controlling our presidents for a long time, I think. But, you know, maybe ever since, I think there was a big coup that happened when they assassinated JFK. So, you know, we're looking at this going on for a long time. And you can see how our society has been undermined since then, and all these subversive, you know, indoctrination agendas in our schools, and just like indoctrinating us into these like communist or socialist or, you say, communitarian models, and like indoctrinating the youth so that they're less resistant. So what we're seeing now is we're losing our republics, we're losing our democracies, and this is all coming under the guise of public health and trying, you know, allegedly protecting us. But you don't give up liberty for the sense of a sense of security. It's not even real security; it's a sense of security. And we don't,
right.
You know, if you do that, you've lost. So we've already lost a lot of our liberties, as you can see, you know. And so it's been this kind of like, I call it totalitarian tiptoe. But it's becoming more of a, not so much a tiptoe anymore, like a stampede. You know, they're really
Wrapping
it up. And, you know, it's just like we, coming from all every direction, you know, the greenwashing, I call it, but the environmentalism, you know, saying that we got to save the planet, that means that you have to give up, you know, maybe your home. Again, they're trying to take property, get rid of personal property. Get rid of our mode of transportation, like less freedom of movement, you know, saying it's allegedly like an emergency. I mean, think about it. It's an emergency. We have to stop driving our vehicles and using gas to grow food. Yet they're having these military exercises with these incredible weapons of war, these planes that, I mean, think about the emissions there. They don't care about, that's when they don't care about the emissions when it comes to what they're doing. Whatever they do, meaning the globalists, the elitists, the billionaires, when they're flying their private jets around, that's fine. But when we're just like using a minuscule amount of energy resources for our tiny homes and our tiny vehicles, that's a problem suddenly. You know, suddenly we're the problem. So, yeah, it's war. I mean, this is why, you know, I keep trying to remind people, like, they've been warring against us. Like, this is, we're being attacked. And when you have, like, immigration policies that allow, you know, that are just unchecked and allow immigrants to come into your country like in huge amounts, that's an invasion. You know, like they didn't come with guns, but the end effect is an invasion because you're pushed out of your land, you're pushed out of your jobs. You know, there's not more people to deal with. There's a cultural shift, cultural invasion. So yeah, it's just coming from all directions and under all these different guises to be stealthy about it. You know, it's very sneaky. It's like, it's just manipulative and, yeah, so.
Yeah, they're coming across without weapons, but I believe like the cell phones they've already been given, they're going to be given those weapons that non-law enforcement-related agencies like the EPA and Social Security admin have invested over $4 billion or around $4 billion in military weapons they have no use for. I'm convinced they're in caches around the country. And now by giving them their cell phones, they're going to tell them where to go, organize, coordinate. I mean, it's absolutely despicable what's taking place before our very eyes. And no government official is doing a damn thing about it. In fact, it turns out the key official like Lloyd Austin and this Mariarcas at DHS haven't even signed loyalty agreements to the United States that are required to sign by law.
Yeah, they're just bypassing everything. It just seems like they You know, you can declare, use emergency measures to circumvent all of our laws, you know, all these checks we have in place to keep our government from, you know, turning against us, becoming a dictatorship. And that's, they find these loopholes and they create them. You know, so everything that we've experienced in the last few years under emergency mandates, they're not actual laws. It's not done through any kind of democratic process. It's just pushed onto us because of an emergency. And there's so many ongoing they just renew them. So a lot of people don't realize this, but there's something like 30 or more, I forget the number, emergencies that our government keeps signing. You know, even that...
that are still in effect, yes.
30 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago, you know, they just like things that aren't a threat at all anymore, probably never were, you know, but they keep signing these, renewing them so that the government has that power, you know, to do anything. I mean, it gives them power to do anything to us, you know.
Yeah.
You know, take from our homes, force medicate. You know, when you're force medicated for any reason, like, you've lost all body sovereignty, like, you've lost your liberty entirely. I mean, that should never happen in any free society. There should never be any kind of mandate for any kind of drug. It's a complete violation of your body sovereignty and personal freedoms.
Yeah, there's so many ramifications where you're talking about the idea of 15-minute cities. So you're not allowed to travel anywhere beyond 15 minutes of your home unless you have permission. I mean, that's creating a prison out of your home, a 15-minute prison. How insane is that? And this move to electric vehicles, it's going to reduce mobility. They're incredibly expensive. There aren't charging stations. You waste hours sitting on your thumb while they recharge, where you can do it for minutes with gasoline. It's all intended as... And you already have power outages in California because they want to go full electric by 35, but they're telling people... You can't charge your battery during certain peak hours. Well, what the hell does that mean? Everyone is just stuck in place. Shannon, it's absurd.
It's a nightmare in the making, and especially for people like me who are electrically sensitive, as they call it. Basically, that means we've been injured by electricity, by microwaves in particular. It used to be called microwave sickness, microwave syndrome. Like, it's really microwave injury from all this ubiquitous microwave radiation and now millimeter wave radiation. And I just kind of hit my tipping point about 8 years ago, where I just couldn't use any of that technology anymore because it made me so extremely sick. I mean, I'm talking about like migraines, but also heart arrhythmia, insomnia, sweating, you know, all kinds of horrible pain. And so I've had to flee and flee and flee and move, and nobody's compensated for me, you know, financially for that or the job loss or anything. But for me to have to drive an electric vehicle is not possible. And I live off grid. I live somewhere where I have to drive, you know, 40 miles to get to town. And, you know, I can't do that in an electric vehicle. Besides the fact, like you're saying, that I'd have to recharge and there might not be a station in between where I need to go in the next place and then wait. But I can't even be in a Prius without getting extreme symptoms from the EMFs. And this isn't good for anybody. So you're talking about adding another layer of artificial electromagnetic fields that we've never adapted to, that we're always compensating, our bodies are compensating when we're in these fields. They're not natural. We don't feel good in them. And it's causing cancers and all kinds of chronic disease and early premature death. And now you've got that, you're going to add another layer to that, plus the, you know, the networks that are going to be required on the road to keep these vehicles going. So you add like another layer. You have these smart highways, you know, with these so-called smart. Smart, by the way, really just stands for, it's an acronym for it's a surveillance thing. So it's self-monitoring automated remote technology or something. I don't know if I'm getting that right now, but it's about like it's a self-monitoring, it's a surveillance technology. But you've got this, you know, people are going to get sicker and sicker and sicker. And there's going to be people like me, and there's millions of people like me who won't have any options for travel at all. How am I going to go anywhere once that happens? And who's going to pay for it? It's environmentally devastating. The fact that they pretend that it's for the environment is absurd, because you've got the battery components that are mined, and a lot of it in the Congo, conflict mining, you have children involved and women being raped and tortured, you know, and all these people being killed, genocide. And you've got these minerals, you know, from these conflict zones and the environmental impact of those minerals and the heavy metals and that in the environment, how to dispose of the batteries. You know, they're blowing up, catching fire, and people are breathing that in. And then you've got, like, the fact that people always seem to forget this, the electricity has to come from somewhere. So, you know, you got, like, coal burning down the line or gasoline to come and power your electric car somewhere else just because you don't see it. You don't see the smog. It doesn't mean it's not happening somewhere.
Yeah, so morons like AOC just never put two and two together. They think electricity is just a boundless resource. You know, and it's ironic, Shannon, because it turns out oil actually is naturally produced by Earth and is virtually boundless. But electricity requires gas or coal or nuclear to produce it. And they don't understand it. As you're talking about the ravaging of Earth, the strip mining for these precious metals, it's horrific. They're doing vastly more damage ecologically to Earth by electric vehicles than any gas vehicles ever have inflicted on the planet. So I mean, it's all stupendously stupid and counterproductive if you were sincere, but I don't believe there's any sincerity here. It's really an effort to destroy our energy capabilities to make us more dependent, really return to a feudal lifestyle where, you know, if they can reduce the population of 500 million, they're going to be living in their castles, and the rest who survive are going to be toiling as serfs or slaves in the field. I mean, they really want a feudal renaissance, as it were. It's bizarre.
I agree entirely, and that's what I keep reminding people. I mean, this is exactly what's happening. When you talk about shrinking the middle class, you're talking about feudalism, because all you have left is the ultra-rich and the ultra-poor. And so you've got the landowners and then the peasants. Like, we won't own land, you know. As Klaus Schwab says, you know, we'll be happy, though. We won't own anything. We'll be happy. Like, his version of happy was, like, what, we're all on Prozac or something, and we're just forced medicated with happy drugs or something, you know? I mean, it's not happiness. It's not.
Well, it's really talking about that graphene oxide interface. So our thoughts and feelings are no longer our own. We're happy because these aren't our own thoughts and our own feelings. Who's happier if they have no property? I mean, you know, no automobile, no home, no. I mean, it's just an absurd idea. Yeah. And do you understand the malevolent motivation and what they really mean? They're going to be happy. You're not going to know the difference because they're turning you into some kind of humanized robot or roboticized human. I've done a huge amount of work in AI and established long ago you cannot turn an inanimate machine into a thinking thing. So what they've done is the opposite. They're trying to turn thinking things into something like an inanimate machine to roboticize us. And the point you are making, by the way, about electrical sensitivity and so forth, failing to take into account evolution. I mean, the human species evolved as a carnivore, for crying out loud. We're not going to eat bugs. I mean, we're not some kind of sophisticated insect. It's just insane what they have in mind for us, Shannon. I mean, it's stupefying when you think about it. If you can think about it clearly, most people, alas, most of the public really doesn't have the resources. We're such a illiterate scientific society today. Social promotion and all this obliviation of standards, you know. I was reviewing, talking about a book called When Race Trumps Merit. And that's what's going on in our society. We're putting all the people in that diverse position are incompetent. They're unqualified. And the disaster that's being inflicted on our society, our culture, is going to take 50 to 100 years if we can recover, which I frankly do not believe we'll be able to do, period.
I'm with you. I know. It's a disaster, and they don't care about the environment. They don't care about humans. They don't. You know, they want to not just make people into robots, and but the environment into, they want to, like, overtake the natural environment, you know, and turn it into something else. This whole, like, Internet of Things. I love that name because it really testifies to their real agenda is making everything into a thing that they can control, including all biological things, you know. know, and tagging them, and sensors, smart vest, you know, and changing the entire environment, our entire electrical environment, so that really no actual life forms biological, which is the only definition of life is biological. You know, it's a
contradiction
in terms to say that there is a synthetic biology. Synthetic something is not biology. You know, biology defines natural life. So they act like they can merge this, and they've been like kind of in stages, I think, getting us to me, like the end goal is this transhumanist, you know, cyborg, remote control cyborg. And they're openly discussing it and pretending it's like beneficial for us, you know, to get this brain implant, it's going to make us smarter or whatever. Of course it isn't. Like you said, you can't, we're not going to become more intelligent at all. We're just going to become sicker. And it's not even going to work the way they say or think it could work, because you can't mix these things. You can't mix, you know, for people who, you know, read the Bible, there's something, some, I don't know what the passage is, where it is, but it's about not mixing iron and clay, like humans, or, you know, the biology is clay and then iron is the machine. And,
yes.
You know, you're not supposed to mix that.
Yes.
So that's what they're trying to do. And it's, I mean, like, just like everything else they promised us with technology that's supposed to happen, never happened. You know, easier lifestyle, less work, more money, leisure time isn't true. Like, it's robbed us of our leisure time. It's, we've had to work more, you know, with inflation and everybody, there's always like two people. Now there's always two parents working and often multiple jobs just to get by. You know, so none of this has freed us. None of this has made us wealthier. It's made us sicker. And, you know, when you're talking about like replacing, you know, just getting us used to replacing parts of our bodies with like metal plates and pins and this as like superior to our own bones, and, you know, and that, and like telling us we can't feel and we have to put these parts in and the pig valves and plastic things, and always fails. You know, there's always these, our bodies constantly reject these things, because it's not natural, and that's why you end up, people have to take these drugs that like somehow counter that, and then those have ramifications. So it just becomes like this domino effect, this snowball effect of like one problem after the other, after the other, after the other, until we're just, and people are, they're walking around like zombies because they're on all kinds of medications. They can't think clearly. I can't think clearly
when I'm like, no. Jen, hold the pot, we'll be right back. Shannon, right now, that's right.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance
and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is that Jim Fetzer. I'm here with my special featured guest today, Shannon Rowan, who has three fabulous books. Shannon, why don't you tell us a bit about your books and why, you know, it looks to me like they just reek with important information. Your thoughts?
You're right. They do. okay. So, yeah, the one I released first was Welcome to the Masquerade with John Hamer. He's a geopolitical author. He's well known in the UK, and he's from England there. And he wrote about like the Titanic, and he has a book called The Falsification of History and then The Falsification of Science. I helped him. I did some of the work of The Falsification of Science as well. So truth seeker. He's been at it, the game, for a long time. And we teamed up. I had met him online a few years ago before that. And we actually started a book on the transhumanist, agenda and EMF topics in 2019. And then we were working on it when the, pandemic hit, and we thought we needed to shift gears and really focus on that topic. So that's where the Welcome to the Masquerade came out of that. And that was released last spring. And meanwhile, I had been working on Wi-Fi Refugee since 2019 as well. It basically tells my story as a refugee from wireless radiation and the story of others like me. I say other canaries, the canary in the coal mine analogy, where the more sensitive people are going to feel the dangers first and try to warn others if they listen. But we all do get affected when the mine is collapsing or, the oxygen levels are decreasing. So canaries should be listened to, and that's kind of my point, but I also provide a lot of evidence, scientific evidence as well, for the harm behind EMF exposures. And then Shots Fired kind of built on a lot of that other research for both those books, but focuses more on the vaccine topic and like the history behind that, and also just allopathic. I don't even like to call it medicine, but they call it medicine. Allopathic medicine, in quotes. And how we've kind of gotten into this position we are in today, where this medical tyranny has been able to take over the entire world, literally, because of our indoctrination and our belief system and how, you know, disease manifests and how to handle disease outbreaks. And so I just kind of present the arguments behind, present like the fraud of the viral paradigm, which I do think it is fraud. There's a lot of evidence to support that, that viruses actually, I know it's shocking for people to hear this, but they don't exist. Not in plant, they haven't been, at least they have not been seen photographed in humans or animals or plants, only in sea algae. Dr. Stefan Lenka, he's a German virologist. He's the only one who actually like biochemically characterized a virus and photographed it like the way you're supposed to in sea algae. And he's been a prominent voice in like, you know, exposing the fraud of like what they call virology now and what they say are viruses. Now, interestingly, the word virus comes from the Latin for poison. So, poisons do exist in that sense, viruses exist, but not the way they tell us that they are, you know. So what we see when they say they've genetically sequenced them, that's just the computer model. That's actually hypothetical. None of these viruses have been isolated in any kind of way that we would understand isolation, meaning like you take the virus from like the spit or the fluid sample from the patient, you isolate it from the surrounding material. This hasn't ever been done. So what they pass as isolation is really, I could get into it, it'll take a while, but it's really amazingly, it's just mind-boggling, and it's obviously fraud. And so they've frightened us with these, even just germ theory, you know, has never been actually proven, like this contagion idea that, you know, a germ is responsible. So that either, even if they've identified bacteria, which they have, even then, it's like they use staining dyes. Like what scientists view under a microscope after it's been taken from a tissue sample or a person or an animal, you know, is altered already. Like as soon as you take anything from the body and take it outside the body, it's going to be different from what it is inside the body. We can't ever really see inside the body properly. Like you can use all kinds of different technologies to scan people, but you never really see or understand the complete intricate workings of the body, you know, in that way. And so when you're dissecting and taking it apart and you're trying to like, you know, reduce everything to the smallest thing and then blame the smallest thing that you can find. And even that is like very different from, again, what's actually in the body and how it works in concert with everything else in the body. So we have this approach that's like very, it's a mechanistic thinking, first of all, which doesn't take into account the entire the body, the spirit, the mind, that connection, you know, the body, spirit, mind within its environment. So it's very complex, you know, disease and health are actually very complex, and it's reduced to like these simple terms, and it doesn't help us. So what it does do is it serves political purposes of control by, you know, frightening us by saying that one germ can cause one disease, which means there's one solution, only a vaccine or an antiviral drug. And that's how they use this as a control tool. And people don't realize that we haven't always believed in these myths. You know, like this was actually just since like the 1800s, maybe a little earlier, where they really start pushing this on us. This last couple of centuries, and it's been building and building, and this is where we see what's brought us to today. But people had different understandings of health and wellness and what caused disease. And I think a lot more accurate picture of like what doctors now might call cofactors, which really are just the main factors of disease. You don't need a germ when you start talking about health and saying, okay, sleep deprivation, malnourishment, exposure to freezing temperatures, heat, you know, what have you. Those all, they'll sometimes admit, the doctors will admit they might contribute to disease, or like they'd like to say weaken your immune system, therefore the virus was able to be more virulent and cause illness. But the fact is that all those things, all those factors are the only the reason. You don't need to add a germ to that. And it's, to me, it's ridiculous to say there's this one pathogenic little tiny thing, microscopic thing in we found, and it's the culprit, when you've got trillions of microscopic things in your body and we're never going to be able to see them all and study them all. So how can you possibly, out of all those, determine and pick one and say this is the thing that's doing it to you? You know, it doesn't even make any sense. And you can't and to also admit, well, some people have that tiny thing in them and they're fine and other people are sick. So then you say, oh yeah, well, these other people are obese or they're, you know, they don't eat well or whatever. And so then they're more susceptible to the effects of this thing in them. While the person who has a healthier lifestyle isn't, then the healthy lifestyle is the reason the person's healthy. You know, to support health, I mean, to be healthy, support health by getting adequate rest, by, you know, reducing stress, by eating well, by being nourished. And so the same goes for sickness. Like, that's why you get sick if all those things aren't happening. You know, so their whole approach is to kill the invader, which kills your body in the process. You know, kill the host. You kill the pathogen, and then you kill the host in the process. You sicken and kill the host. So how does that get you anywhere? You know, so really we should be looking at all this very differently in terms of in a supportive way instead of like a warring mentality. So there's this warring mentality, which we have against the environment, against ourselves. It's just so destructive. You know, this is where we're headed for this, like you were saying in the beginning of the show, this suicide. You know, it's like a suicidal attitude, and that's what we have. These psychopaths are really actually mentally ill, and they're our leaders right now. So, but that's what Shots Fired covers, all of these topics, and hopefully in a kind of chronological way that try to organize it so that one thing builds on the other and all, you know, is easy to reference. But also I try to offer solutions for like what kind of things we can do to counter these poisons. We're all being poisoned. Our foods, our water, our air, you know, vaccines. So we're all like compromised. And I think we're not living to our true potentials. And that's the intent. Like, again, back to this kind of peasant and, you know, the landowner and serf model. They want us dumbed down, you know. If the citizenry is dumbed down, they're easy to control. And one way to do that is when you attack the body, you attack the mind as well and the intellect. So when your body is hurting and you're sick all the time, it's hard to think clearly and to really, I mean, not that you can't ever, but it makes it a lot more difficult. And so they're just making it harder and harder for us. So, yeah.
Well, I'm aware of the debate about germ theory and viruses, but even if you take viruses, say coronaviruses, to be bona fide, it appears research shows they mutate so fast that vaccines are ineffective against the coronavirus. So this whole thing was a scam, either if they exist or if they don't exist, because the nature of the coronavirus is such that it cannot be successfully treated by vaccines. And the vaccines were never actually developed to inhibit transmission, which means a whole society groupthink pressure that, you know, we're putting the rest of the world at risk by not getting vaccinated. It was all lunatic from the beginning. As one astute observer said, they want to protect the protected from the unprotected by giving the unprotected the protection that didn't protect the protected. I mean, it's that absurd, Shannon. So, you know, and it, by the way, regarding your Wi-Fi and your sensitivity, I have a very dear friend who's dealing with targeted individuals who are hit with directed energy weapons, Dr. Catherine Horton, who has a PhD in particle physics from Oxford, and who herself has been subjected to these attacks. I mean, it's just a startling what they can do to the human body by using these directed energy weapons. Now, my understanding generally about the pandemic is the following, which I submit for your critique, that the pandemic basically was fake, that there was no actual increase in deaths in any age group. But, of course, the vax is real and deadly, but it varies by lot. And if you're lucky, see, my own family went ahead and got vaxxed, knowing I was opposed to it without telling me. But they're here in Madison, Wisconsin. Madison's very Democrat, very compliant, not, you know, outspoken, you know, not controversial like this guy. So they went ahead and got the vaccine. I've been in fear, you know, that manifest of symptoms of damage. But I think they got something mild, even a placebo, whereas in other areas they got other lots and they're virtually wiped out. And the UK statistics are really stunning because they're keeping in a much more transparent fashion what's actually happening, which the CDC and the FDA and NIH have all been concealing from Americans. They were just dumb enough and gullible enough to go along with not knowing what the hell they're asking us to do when they want to mandate a vaccine where we don't even know the contents. I mean, that was the genius, of course, having emergency use authorization. They don't even have to list the contents. I've seen studies of the contents, and they're horrific. They're all kinds of little worm-like things. They're these self-replicating. I mentioned graphene oxide already. They create these blood clots. They're synthetic. They're not actually made of blood, but they can be long. They can extend for feet inside your system. So when you have these people dropping dead, died suddenly. Stu Peters, I don't know if you saw it, had this brilliant collage of people dying suddenly. I mean, that's because the blood just stopped flowing. I mean, it's totally clogged artificially by these little mechanisms that are in the vax. I mean, is all of that more or less consistent with your findings?
Yes, it is.
Scary. Very scary.
I want to say that all vaccines before this time, too, most people have had no idea what's in the contents, not the doctors administering them. They never bother to check. They don't inform patients. Most doctors have no idea there's a vaccine, adverse event reporting system called, VAERS, that's with the CDC. And so they go underreported, these adverse reactions, by about 99%.
Yes.
At least 90%, but the estimate is more like 99%. So what we see, these millions of injuries right now, that means that's 1%.
Yes, that's right.
And same with death. So, and the fact that, like, in the last year and a half, 2 years, there have been more reports on that system from this one vaccine than the totality of 30 years of reporting for all vaccines.
Yes, that's right.
It speaks volumes. This is how dangerous it is. All vaccines before have been dangerous, but this is, like, another level, because what we're talking about is mRNA technology. So this is a new... This was called gene therapy before. They used it for a so-called vaccine. And it's 10 years of development, of research, they were not able to get approval because it was too dangerous, because all the animal trials, all the mice would die. And there were more deaths and more, disabilities in these animal studies, the more doses they got. So the dosing was a key issue with mRNA. Drugs. Beyond one dose, you're getting into really dangerous territory, already bad with one dose. So they thought, well, we could do vaccines because they're typically like one dose, so maybe that'll be safer. But then, of course, as we saw, they got in with this variant narrative and then getting the boosters and everything. So what we're seeing is people getting multiple doses of something that is not supposed to be given in multiple doses, that's definitely known to be deadly in multiple dosing. So we have that, and, still, this has mostly been under emergency use authorization. BioNTech was awarded, an actual approval last year, but that's not people. So there's Pfizer, BioNTech developed the vaccine, but they worked together. But the Pfizer drug is the one that's mostly used in the U.S., was not given that approval, but it got kind of convoluted, and people understood that it was Pfizer being awarded, but it was actually BioNTech, the German company, and their technology. So it's not the same as the Pfizer drug that's being given. So that still hasn't been approved as far as I know. It's still under emergency use authorization. But that doesn't even matter. The FDA is completely corrupt. What they approve and don't approve is just, how many drugs have pulled that they've approved that are pulled from the shelves every year, something like 4,000. So, these are 4,000 drugs a year that we're told we're safe, and then they find say they're not safe.
And Shannon, those are pulled after a handful of adverse effects, a handful. Absolutely. And we got millions with the Pfizer and Moderna, and they're not pulled. Right. I mean, it's just...
So why, right? Yeah. That's very suspicious. This is why right now we should say all of these leaders have to be taken down. Like, they should not be in positions of power. They should all be indicted. They should all go to jail. They should be tried for treason, for murder, mass murder, genocide. You know, I mean, if we had justice, if there was a real justice system serving us right now, that's what would be happening. Like, the fact that they keep getting away with this and nothing happens, you know, it's just incredible. But back to the ingredients, you have the disclosed ingredients are already frightening, you know, that the companies disclose. If you look into what this means, these lipid nanoparticles, they're extremely toxic. So known toxicity, known to be inflammatory. And then you add to that the undisclosed, which is all this nanotech, the graphene oxide, which, you know, many different research teams around the world have corroborated this information, you know, doing their separate research. And what you're seeing is, like, so graphene oxide, I'll just talk about that. If you'd like me to, I can talk about graphene oxide.
Sure.
So this is a superconductor, right? And in fact, it's been targeted as the best kind of thing, the component to use for the Internet of Things for 5G, because it's so resilient and flexible. It has all these amazing properties, you know. So they're just looking at the positives. Like, and for drug delivery, it's been targeted years ago for using it to target the brain, actually.
Yes.
Interesting. So it can bypass the blood-brain barrier.
Yes.
It can bypass the blood placenta barrier. The blood is another barrier I can't think of right now. But so it can sneak in anywhere. I mean, there's the nano-sized element, but there's other properties that allow it to be like the ultimate stealth weapon, like a Trojan horse. So it can get inside anywhere you want it to go. And it can be controlled electrically, like with electromagnetic fields. And so you can get it to change shape, to grow, you know, you can use it for nano circuitry, nano antennas, nano routers. So it has all these properties, but there have also been just many studies showing the toxicity. So again, like major inflammatory effects, majorly toxic. And this is well known. This is in the scientific literature for a long time now, but somehow they just ignore that these toxic properties and look at the benefits, so-called. And this has been found in every brand of the COVID vaccines, like 90% graphene oxide, you know. And so people are kind of like walking time bombs with this stuff in them. They may seem fine for a long time, but then the problem is, like, it can be triggered. You know, so, and like you were talking about your targeted individual friend, right?
Yeah.
You can take 5G in particular is scary. 4G was what made me sick. So, you know, people got sick with 3G. So, like, they're not healthy already, the microwaves. But see, millimeter wave is beamforming. You can target it. You can use it and target it like a laser. And that's why they want it, you know. So you can take this technology and they say this, like, for surveillance, you can track people, an individual in a crowd, pick them out. You know, even use it like to undress them, like they're using it in the airports, right? When you go through that thing at the airport, the scanner, which I've never done, I always refused, that undresses you electronically with 5G millimeter radiation. So when you combine that radiation with graphene oxide, which is highly conductive, first of all, what's happening too is it has this affinity for electricity. So any electrical parts of your body, like your heart and brain, are going to get the graphene oxide buildup, they're going to go there, they're going to be attracted to it. So one hypothesis for people, athletes especially, dropping dead or collapsing on the field when they're playing, is that when they're running, exercising like that, the heart is more active, so there's more electrical pulses coming out of it, which means graphene oxide will go to that area. And the thing about graphene oxide, too, is it's razor sharp. It's got these, like, you know, little razor blades basically circling in around in your blood and, like, cutting up your platelets, right? So you've got that happening, hemorrhaging from that, heart attacks, you know, so it's like all a matter of, it's also related to glutathione levels in your body. So the more your glutathione levels reduce, the more danger you're in. And so it's really helpful to take a glutathione supplement, I think, for anybody, because I think that there's evidence that this is coming at us, the graphene oxide in our environment with the aerial, you know, geoengineering, chemtrail programs. So, you know, we can be inhaling it. You could maybe the shedding potential from vaccinating people around you. So raising your glutathione levels by taking antioxidant supplements are helpful for that, but just glutathione itself. I like something called Jiayuan tea. It's amazing. It really helps bring those up, and you can feel that energy from that. So that can counter, that can kind of help if you've got the graphene oxide, because the graphene oxide robs you of that. So when your glutathione levels suddenly drop, you could suddenly drop and collapse, right? So you want to keep those higher, and that's one way of combating this. But yeah, I mean, there's also little hydras, they're like parasites. Yeah, they've been found in the vaccines, and they can manipulate those electronically or electrically as well. In fact, I have that in the book. There's a patents for, like, they show how you can use a hydra. And the thing about hydras is they're immortal in that you can cut pieces off, it grows back.
Yeah, so they regenerate.
They regenerate, and you can control them through electromagnetic fields. You know, tell them what to do, how to move, where to go. I mean, they have these videos of them, like, picking things up, like creating shapes they want with them, you know, picking up, putting something somewhere. And when you combine this with, like, the military research that's been going on for a long time, I have a transcript, you know, used from a professor lecturing to the Army in 2018, I think. Dr. Charles Morgan, he's a scary man. He's very excited about all these technologies that can, he said you can program bacteria to, you can actually hide information in bacteria, images, even like videos, and put this in somebody, and it can go and park where you want it, as he says, and then you can, like, activate it later. And there's all this, you know, he said, so exciting. He says you can co-opt insects and maybe even small animals soon, and, like, remote control them. You know, remote control their minds with this stuff. So hydrogels are being used to that end as well, and they can be used to remote control people, like, actually control their thoughts. There was another professor who predicted, this was in the 1990s, he predicted that, sometime in the future, like maybe now, we would be mandated, like, vaccines that would have hydrogels in them that would remote control us. And he said, this is not hypothetical that this has happened. He said, think Rwanda. He said, Rwanda is an example. Like, what happened in Rwanda demonstrates what hydrogels can do.
Shannon, hold that thought. We will be taking your calls right after this break. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Shannon Rowan and I will be here to take your calls.
We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Shannon, we're standing by for any callers, but I invite you to continue your explanation about these horrific contents of the vax that was mandated completely improperly. No scientific justification, clearly motivated by the most malevolent possible, even evil intentions. I don't think there's any other language you can use that's adequate to the task. Your further thoughts?
Yeah, like you said, the mandate part, you know, a lot of, and it was sold in a way to convince people they'd be protected from the ravages of the supposed, you know, viral disease spreading everywhere. And of course it didn't. And that it would stop transmission, and of course it didn't do that. So, you know, the immediate things that people were told was things like ridiculous things like 100% efficacy, which never happens for any drug, and you can't say that without lying, you know. So, you know, immediate lies from Fauci and friends about that, and then, you know, backpedaling later, oh, well, it mutated. And I wanted to say something about this mutation aspect, because so if you look at the other so you have germ theory and then there's terrain theory. And terrain theory says that it's the terrain that matters, not the germ, right? So the germ's only like a problem, or at least looks like it's a problem when the terrain's compromised, meaning inside your body, but I think of it as like outside your body too. So the environment you live in, it also dictates your health, right? So we are connected to everything around us. And so the thing about, so Bechamp, there was Antoine Bechamp was a contemporary of Pasteur, Louis Pasteur, a fraud and huckster called Louis Pasteur, who was a favorite of Napoleon's court, right, 1800s, early 1800s, and he was tasked, I think, he was used to promote the germ theory, right? So, but Bechamp was a more accomplished scientist, and what he was seeing, he was using dark field using dark field microscopes, and so what he was using was like he was looking at live samples, tissue samples, and what he noticed was that everybody had in them these microbes that he called microsoma, if I'm saying that right, that would change depending on the environment change. So if like, you know, you have a sample and you poison it, then these would change into something. And so what his idea was that we all have this foundational microbial system, which all these microbes can change form into any kind of bacterium and any kind of fungi, depending on like what happens in the environment, right? And so if you had even had a thing called a virus, if you could prove that, of course it would change form when your environment changes. Like, this is always changing. The point is that these microbes in our bodies constantly change and adapt to the environment. So the environment within the body, and of course we're influenced by things outside our bodies. There's nothing stagnant. There's everything's changing. It's like shape shifting, and not, you know, so no bacterium, no microbe, no fungus is like a stagnant thing. It's always changing. And so I think that's a more accurate depiction of like what's actually happening in biology. And what they've shown us is something completely different, which is, I think, not accurate. And so, again, used as a tool of control. So that might explain, you know, so of course, like, and when they do talk about these viruses, which they've never actually isolated and never actually sequenced the way they say they have, you know, they're always talking about these mutations and that these always mutate. But again, like everything's always changing. So you can't do what they say they want to do, or they say that they're doing with vaccines. So it's just a lie. And, you know, again, so what's behind that? Then there's obviously something more nefarious going on when you find out that what they've been telling you is lies, and they still want you to take these shots anyway. And it's amazing what these public health officials will say. They'll say, well, we don't know yet the efficacy of this new booster. We haven't tested it, you know, on people yet. But just trust us and take it anyway. You know, go ahead and take it anyway, even though we don't really know what it's going to do or how long, you know, so-called protection is going to last. Just trust us. Like, you know, we were wrong about the first ones, but don't worry. We're still, you know, the scientists are working on it really hard. And, so that's the attitude, but it's amazing. And there has been, luckily, I think people are waking up. There has been what they would consider a poor response, poor uptake of boosters, at least in the U.S. I think that people are starting to see that this, you know, these promises were all empty, and maybe they shouldn't trust in this narrative anymore. I'm hoping that that's what's going on. It looks like possibly so.
Yeah, we've had the politicalization of medicine, just as we've had the politicalization of law enforcement and the politicalization of the Department of Justice. Further thoughts?
Right. I mean, yeah.
Hello.
That's absolutely right. I mean, it's not, it's all political. You know, there's nothing, it's manipulation. Everything's inverted.
Okay.
And everything we're told is basically the opposite.
Okay, good. So I can't take any calls.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. So
You got it. Thank you, Mitchell. That was a call from my producer explaining that power's out for him, so we are unable to take calls. I would have thought we would have had, but he was explaining that he can't take any calls. So, but we're good to go. We're on the air, so we'll continue our conversation, Shannon. It's just that we are deprived of input from our listeners. So please do continue. I'm very concerned what can be done here. I mean, I call him Tony the Rat. He will be responsible for more deaths than all of our foreign enemies combined. Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Pol Pot, Mao Zedong, Anthony Fauci is going to be responsible for more deaths than all of them combined. And, of course, the agenda for the Great Reset appears to be to knock out 7.5 billion people. I mean, Shannon, this is just monstrous on a scale that is truly mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is, and he is exactly that. And you know, even before these vaccines, so-called, you know, he was responsible for mass murder, along with Bill Gates. You know, these experiments they did on children with AIDS drugs. I don't know if you know about that, but they took orphans and, you know, children from the foster care system, sometimes just took them out of their homes. You know, it's called in Child Protective Services. And, you know, there's mass graves in our country One in New York, there's like seven different states that have these facilities, and they force medicated these children. So, you know, they only had to be HIV positive, not sick necessarily, and this test is completely fraudulent. It's a whole other topic. But, you know, inserted feeding tubes and directly into their intestines if they didn't comply with taking the medicines. Horrific things they did to these children, killed them, murdered them, you know, with these AIDS drugs. And this came out like years later and nothing's happened yet. I mean, imagine this, like this comes out. There was even a BBC documentary about it called Guinea Pig Kids, and Fauci doesn't even lose his position. Doesn't even lose it. I mean, he's behind this directly. He directed this. He, you know, signed off on that, and Bill Gates helped fund it. And they worked together on this. And not only that was in our country, but they did this abroad too, you know, African children, Latin America, you know, just all their, like, I mean, as eugenicists, all the unwanted or ones, you know, that nobody's going to miss at least, and use them first. Of course, they want, the end goal is to get a lot more of us from any kind of racial background, you know, because they don't care about any of us. They really think of all of us as useless eaters mostly. So.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's genocide, and somehow, you know, nothing's happening. And this is why, this just shows you the level of corruption that nothing's happening yet. Not yet, you know, needs to. These people need to be held accountable for this. So,
do you see any prospect of that happening? Certainly not under this administration.
No, I know, not under Biden, that's for sure. I mean, he just keeps signing one crazy executive order after the other. What was that last one? There was one recently. I forgot what it is now. But, yeah, just more attacks on, you know, food, especially. I mean, all under this, like, idea that we're saving the planet by, you know, changing, like, forcing people to stop using gas and to switch over to something else, electric or biofuel, which is ridiculous, which is just coming from GMO crops. You know, I mean, the whole picture, that whole, again, we keep talking about this environmental, the bigger picture that people don't look at, you know, the real costs of all these measures that are supposedly green and they're not green. And that's something I actually want to write more about and maybe do a book about that, because it's just, it's a huge threat. I mean, you know, we have this possible imminent war threat hanging over us, but we also have the threat of devastation from all these policy changes and us being forced into them. Completely devastating. Like, we are back to the electric vehicles. I mean, what I want to know, what happens to when, especially I'm in California, so I have real cause for concern if this continues, that they actually force us out of using gas powered vehicles. Who is going to pay for, I mean, I had to pay a lot of money for a 20-year-old car last year when my other 20-year-old car died, and I had to pay thousands of dollars for that. You know, who pays for, first, what happens to those vehicles? Where are they going to be? Are they going to be responsibly disposed of somewhere? You know, millions of vehicles, gas-powered vehicles, and to replace with these other, I mean, think all those resources, think about that. So who's going to do that for me? Who's going to pay for that? Do I have to pay for it? How many thousands of dollars is that? Again, how am I actually going to travel anywhere?
I mean, that's another point about electric cars. They're fabulously expensive, $55,000, $60,000. I mean, the average guy getting a new car, $25,000 to $30,000, is a burden enough. But the idea of doubling that to get a damned electric car, which is going to have less efficiency, limit your mobility, you're going to have to waste all this time. You mentioned they burst into fire. There are so many problems with electric vehicles, and the idea of just converting from a gas-powered economy to electric is so stupid, so colossally stupid. And yet that's what our, you know, political leaders think we ought to be doing. Shannon, I mean, this is an atrocity.
It really is. And I mean, if they really wanted to save the environment and even not use gas, like, we can run cars off of water. You know, I mean, this was like, there's been patents for like water powered vehicles from like decades ago, you know, 100 years ago. Like, why don't we just desalinate water from the ocean and run our vehicles off of that? Like, if they really wanted solutions like that, that were like not, you know, that were so-called environmentally friendly, they could do that. And like you said, oil is a natural resource from the earth. It's plentiful. The peak oil thing is a lie. And we've done a lot to, I mean, I don't do well with the chemicals, but a lot of those chemicals are added. You know, I don't know, like, if we used it in a more natural state, how that would be in terms of breathing it. But even so, like, we've gotten to a point now where the emissions are really low, you know, in our country. Like, what, I mean, we've already reduced these emissions, the smog, right? It's like, so again, and when you use electric cars, it's not reducing smog everywhere on the planet. It's just in pockets where the cars are, but it's certainly not down the line where, and then you've got these power lines, you know, moving this power through that's like, and there's a lot of research to show that living near power lines increases cases of leukemia and asthma, you know, makes people very sick.
Tumors, brain cancer, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, how is that helpful? I mean, it's just, these people, yeah, it's amazing to me because, you know, and they really politicized it in that, you know, they're brainwashing children. You know, you got Greta, that spoiled brat going around like...
Yeah,
you know,
Grunberg, whatever, yeah. She's just a political pawn. How pathetic.
Yeah. But that's like a good case of, you know, you're going to see... What I'm a little worried about is like what we saw in China with the social revolution. You got the kids being indoctrinated, turning in their parents. You know, the woke kids, you know, they're going to think, well, they know better than us. And we're crazy. Look what we've done. We've ruined the earth, you know, these like, and how dare us like keep promoting like gas, using gas and whatever, and they're going to turn us in and they're going to kill in and murder us. I don't know, you know, I mean, because they really believe in this and they think that's the way to save the planet, to get electric vehicles and all this. And they can't understand why there's any delay and why anybody would protest it because they don't know and they're indoctrinated. And what they're being taught at schools is the same indoctrination, and there's no counter to that. And people, we need to be teaching them the truth, you know, and getting them to see the big picture. And I talked to a young person recently in high school, and I got a chance to tell her, because she kind of had this fixation on certain things like plastic bags and, you know, electric cars. And I was talking about, well, the power, I started having her think about where's the power come from to power these cars. And so she's like, oh, you know, like I hadn't thought of that. And then she said, well, why don't we, well, we could use solar. And I'm like, okay, so solar power, I mean, solar is great for like off-grid living for like a, you know, like we're using like a tiny panel for our batteries for my, I mean, okay, here's my case, like how I live. We have two battery packs I can even show you, right? And we have a tiny solar panel, and that is it. We power laptops and a coffee grinder and nothing else, you know? And it's like, so I'm going to be targeted and penalized somehow for, like, my ridiculously small amount of electric use. And a lot of people could live that way. But my point, and I don't even think people need to, but the thing is when you start replacing, like, our current systems with things like fields of solar panels is a totally different story than one solar panel. Birds flying over fields of solar panels have burned up, have been ignited on fire. That's the intensity of the heat that is generated from these solar panels, right? So people don't understand that there's like, there's electromagnetic fields they create, but there's environmental devastation as well. Like, so this is not, and then again, you get back to like mining those materials for those panels. Where does that come from? And then where do these things go when they're disposed of? They go to out of the way, like third world countries that nobody cares about. And there's this piles and mountains of they call it e-waste, electronic waste. You've got these people with no masks or gloves or anything, and they're just taking out copper wiring and things and, you know, selling that. Like, that's recycling, right? That's recycling. They are so sick. I mean, they're exposed to unbelievable amounts of chemicals from, you know, lead, all kinds of horrible things in these parts, and nobody's caring about them, protecting them. They get paid like $1 an hour for it, you know, if they're lucky. So that's what we're looking at, just more of that, you know, clogging rivers, streams, again, in places where, like, the Westerners who are promoting this stuff and behind it don't see that. They don't see where it goes. So, yeah, just a completely devastating, but that's just, like, I mean, that's the constant, that's all we're hearing about, you know, Biden just faced that he's like, you know, banning sales of gas stoves. And again, this is like more electricity instead of natural gas, propane. In a lot of cases, we use propane. And I mean, we wouldn't be able to cook if we didn't use propane out here. You know, we can't have an electric stove. And that's like so ridiculous. Again, it's so much more power, but that's really about control and surveillance. So, you know, micromanaging. So, for example, if you don't have a gas stove anymore, it's just electric, and your electricity is with a smart meter, and they monitor it, and they, every, you know, when you're using it, whatever, they'll say, you can't cook right now. It's peak hour. It's peak hour. It's everybody's cooking at the same time because it's dinner time.
Yeah.
So what, you're not supposed right. to eat at dinner time?
Right.
Like, you have to eat at a different time?
Right.
So your energy bill, if you get to eat at dinner time, then your energy bill is doubled.
Yeah.
They double it at
yeah.
different times. You know, I mean, absurd.
And lunatics like Gavin Newsom think this is a good thing. And they want to make him president. Mark my words. He's going to be the Democrat nominee for 2024, Gavin Newsom. I guarantee you. Yeah, that's in the works.
It's another World Economic Forum alone.
Of course.
You know,
of course.
They all come out of that.
Of course.
And like Trudeau and, you know, Billionaire Club, globalist elite. I mean, he's been sued by the people of California already over his mandates for the during the pandemic. Somehow he got out of that, you know, but there was lawsuits against him for like overstepping his reach with, with all these. So, yeah, I mean, a nightmare. I mean, any of these candidates are just a nightmare. You know, I mean, it's like, I'm not a Trump supporter, by the way, because he's another pawn to me. He's just like another puppet. If you really look at like his background, education, and also the things he promised that he didn't follow through on. You know, I mean, he can, and like, the thing is, they can make all the promises they want. They could tell us all kinds of things to get in office like they always do. And once they're in office, the real people behind the curtain, they're pulling the strings of these puppets, are the ones that are bringing in the policy changes.
Well, of course, I am a Trump supporter, warts and all. I recognize he's flawed. But really, I think he's the only guy who can redeem the nation. I mean, who would be the fallback in your judgment, Shannon?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't support anybody because I just don't see any of them as, again, because the real power is the money. And, you know, I mean, cause the thing is about Trump, I mean, yeah, it's great that he said certain things, but what I've seen him do, which is sign off on Operation Warp Speed for the vaccines and also give $2.2 trillion to telehealth, you know, biotech companies during the whole pandemic mess. I mean, yeah, you can see other people pressured him wherever, but the point is whether or not he personally wants to make a change and he personally wants to help us, he's still controlled by these other, you know, people in power. That
see, the argument I make, Shannon, is if Trump were on their side, why go to all the trouble, the impeachments, Russiagate, these lawsuits? They don't want that guy in office. And remember, he really gave us a robust economy, made us energy independent. He shut down the border. There's no more pressing issue before us right now than this invasion across the border. The UN plans to bring in 300 million. I mean, we got 330 million Americans now. About 30 million are already illegals. They're bringing in millions more. It's going to be 100 million, I think, by the plan. But the UN, I think, wants it to be 6. I mean, this is total destruction of the United States. Trump most certainly would not allow that to happen. I mean, if that were the only thing he did. And remember, he called out the fake news media. Most Americans are far more aware of the extent to which they've been subjected to propaganda because of Trump. And, you know, I mean, shows like ours, where we're actually getting at the truth, you're not going to hear us on the mainstream. I mean, for damn sure, they want to censor us. I've had 6 of my books banned by Amazon. Yours, I believe, are still on Amazon, but I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that.
I'm trying to be on other platforms, too, just in case, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I think the problem is I always see that there's some kind of show being put on for us in politics. That's why I'm hesitant to trust any of it.
Sure.
You know, and especially, like, also just trying to get us aligned with one of them and then, you know,
sure.
and supporting that person who comes in and who knows what's going to happen. I mean, I don't like that he signed the Secure 5G and Beyond Act, you know, all pushing that on us, saying we have to beat China. We have to have our own 5G because China's 5G will be spying on us, but not seeing that 5G itself is a genocidal weapon. You know, letting these go into space as weaponry. So, you know, there's a lot of problems there. I mean, I prefer him over Biden for sure.
Well, that's the thing, see. There you go. We're talking about the lesser of the evils. You know, many times it's said that way, but it's a question of practical politics, except with the corruption of the electoral system, with Dominion voting machines and everything else we're finding. I've said before, and I'll say it again, the GOP could run Jesus Christ as his candidate, and he'd still lose because of Dominion voting machine. I mean, it's just outrageous where we are today. Shannon, it's been a delight having you here. We're in the home stretch last couple of minutes. I'd be glad if you were to sum up what you believe your books contribute, where Americans ought to go, what they need to know, please, yours.
Yeah, I think that people need to understand. I hope my books explain in detail. I'll let you know this last book is almost 800 pages, 60 of which are all endnotes crammed together, 8 point, you know, just 2,000 endnotes, because I wanted to make sure that, like, you know, I'm presenting this information. It's not stuff I made up, is what the point is, right? You can cross-reference this. I have the references there. But to really illustrate, like, how the history of this corruption in these industries, where it's led us to, where we're at today, and how we should never not trust any of them. And we need to really withdraw our consent and empower ourselves with ways to heal our bodies, to support our own communities with growing food and, you know, getting out of these systems, these control systems, as much as we can. And so I try to offer so many solutions at the end of my books, as well as just presenting the evidence, what I see as the evidence of the fraud, of the corruption behind the medical institutions and the political institutions and how they're working together. So, just trying to cover every aspect of that. So, and also just, you know, the elephant in the room to me is these the digital exposures, these wireless exposures that people, even truth speakers, don't know a lot about, and because, you know, the problem is they've been sold to us as tools and we use them as communication tools, but there's definitely safer ways of using communication tools, so we're not getting ourselves sick. I'm using, everything's wired. This is actually, even these earbuds are air tubes, you know, so I don't have electronics next to my brain.
Shannon's been absolutely wonderful having you here. Everyone out there in Revolution Radio land, really remember, spend every moment you can with your friends, your relatives, your people you love and care about. It may be that June 11th is the day the world ends. And bye. Have a great weekend, but don't miss a moment with the people you love and care about.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Excellent, excellent, Shannon. Yeah, no, you did a great job. Let me just connect from the station.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
we did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global